And verse 3 says, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, every now and then we know that there becomes a bitterness, an anger, a disconnect in our heart. Father, sometimes it erupts into flame, and Lord, becomes anger. Lord, help us to realize that failures within ourselves, that issues within us, Lord, can be the source of a lot of our sin. Lord, help us to turn to your word. Help us to see your command here. Lord, that if we do well, we'll be accepted. Lord, help us to seek your acceptance, first and foremost of all. Lord, help us to rely on you and your word for the things that we do. And help us, Lord, to have calm, even demeanors, so that, Lord, we may bring honor and glory to you in the things that we do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Have you ever felt like the worst person on earth? Some of us, that's where we live. Every little failure, every little bump in the road, every little thing you didn't get done, every little, I must be the worst this on earth. Right? You imagine a grand piano player standing before millions, and they hit one wrong note out of a million. I must be the worst piano player that ever lived. I've done that so often in different things. We were doing the lights downstairs, and I didn't get as far as I wanted. I missed out one of the classes, had to send Sister Paula a text. Hey, listen, I'm sorry I didn't get to your Sunday school class. I'm not going to be able to get to it. I felt like the worst pastor on earth, even though the lights still work and everything was reasonably fine and there was no problem with them. I just felt awful. For a small period of time, you know what Cain was? Literally the worst person on earth. And that sits upon you, don't it? And oftentimes it changes our demeanor inside of us. When we begin to look at ourselves from the scope of everything wrong with us, we begin to get anxious. We get worried. We lose our mind. We become impatient. We become hard to deal with. We become monsters sometimes. So often when you find just feral, mean people, it's because they like themselves least of all. I've met a couple of people like that. Surely you have too. You just want to go over to them and go, do you like anybody? Just go to war with everybody you've ever met. Always sitting there snarling and growling at everybody. And nobody does anything quick enough. Nobody does anything well enough. I sat there one day at lunch with somebody. And for them, this was down in Cincinnati. We would get together after church and we would go out to eat. And for him, it was always the waffle. The waffle was never crispy enough. Sometimes it was too crispy. Other times it was not crispy enough. It had to be just the right kind of crispy. Now listen, let me tell you about waffle makers. It's not a skill. You put it in the waffle maker and it goes. There's nothing that person back there making $2.50 an hour is going to be able to do to help your poor waffle. And let's just be honest, waffles aren't really like a delicate food, you know what I mean? You're not paying, you know, $40-$50 bucks for a waffle. Why? Because it's a waffle, right? And so I had to stop going out to lunch with this guy. I go, man, you are driving me crazy. Every time we go back, you send back a plate of waffles five times. I could have eaten three times while I'm sitting there waiting for you to get the perfectly crispy waffle. And then forget it if they didn't have the right syrup that day. Are you ever going to be happy? And there's some people that are just like that. It's not about the waffle. It's not about the fact that you stopped in front of them. It's not about the fact that you didn't go fast enough or the person around them didn't go fast enough or their kids weren't fast enough. Bottom line is there was no right answer with you. Why? Because there's something bad wrong on the inside. And as long as there's something bad wrong on the inside, you're never going to be able to act right. What does the Lord say to Cain? Cain's sitting there. The Lord brought two accusations against Cain. You're wroth and your countenance has fallen. Now you got to figure this. If your only job is to garden. Now there wasn't, I don't know how many people there were on earth at this time. But man, all Cain had to do is go out there and work the field. Now that's hard. It's labor. But all he had to do is work the field. And he comes together and he brings the wrong stuff. And when we sit there and we look at that phrase, respect, it comes down to the connotation of looks at. So for instance, if I were your child and I were to come to you with a picture that I drew and I showed it to you and you looked at it and you go, that is nice. Me as a little child would go wandering away going, oh, that's very good. He liked it. That's very cool. Maybe they'll put it on the refrigerator. But if I brought that same drawing over to you as a child, and I brought it, look at it, and you're sitting there, and you're in a book, or you're in your phone, and you go, uh-huh, that's nice. That's how Cain felt. God didn't look upon it. He didn't accept it. Right? We know how God would accept sacrifices. There'd be fire, and he would look upon it, and he would say, yes, this is good. And for Cain, he didn't get that. Why? Because he brought the wrong stuff. What we need to realize is a lot of times our impatience, our frustration comes because we don't like ourselves very much. Now, why do we not like ourselves very much? Because somewhere along the line we did what? We brought the wrong stuff to the situation. And we feel bad about ourselves. A lot of times when you come across verbally or physically violent people who just don't like it, they got zero patience for others. More often than not, they've got zero patience for themselves. More often than not, they've got issues with how they see themselves. Lord brought against them two accusations. You're angry. Your countenance has fallen. Oh, how happy of a life Cain could have had. Oh, how much joy he could have had in life. I'm the oldest. Man, he was in a good spot. But because he brought the wrong stuff, and God didn't take it, he became angry and bitter. I see a lot of people my age and younger, they're angry and they're bitter. What takes a young person, makes them angry and bitter at the things that their parents, grandparents, and church has for them? What does that? I'll tell you. It's not the fact that you're telling them they're wrong. Those kids are wrong 24/7, 365, just the same as you are. They're wrong a lot. What is it? Shame. It's shame. What turns the hearts and minds of everybody? Shame. Adam and Eve, who never felt shame before, what did they do? They hid. That was natural for them, wasn't it? Why? Why would they hide? Why wouldn't they go before the Lord and say, hey, Lord, we did this thing. We messed up. We've got this problem. That God had never punished them for anything before. God had never showed anger at them for anything before. So why did they hide? They can't pull the things we do today. Well, because God has been so angry in the past, we knew we had to hide. They hid out of shame. They knew they'd done wrong. They knew. And a lot of folks, that's what they do. They try to hide from God. They hide from their parents. They hide from their grandparents. They hide from their church. Why? Because I know I've done something. And we always couch it the same way, don't we? They don't agree with what I want to do. They wouldn't agree with that. But I have a different way of thinking. And yet you see the countenance change. Why are you miserable? Why are you angry? What's going on? Because you have a problem inside. So God brought him two accusations. What else did he say? If you do well, you'll have acceptance. If you do well, there's no shame. If you do well, there's no problem. If you do well. Now this is God saying, if you do well. And that's the same definition we'll be using today. If God says, what God says is well, if God says what is right, if we do that, it'll be well. It'll be well. If not, oh my, what problems there are. What failures and what price those failures bring to us. We say a lot about mental health nowadays. I act the way I act because of mental health. Well, let's take a look at Cain for a second. Cain brought the best he had, didn't he? So the Bible says, he brought the fruit of the land. This is what he did. This was his job. He worked out in the field, so he brought the best he had, brought it to God, and God didn't take it. Oh man, what effect that must have had on his poor psyche. And then, he's got to sit there in front of his family, knowing he did wrong. And he's got to look over at his little brother. Lord took his sacrifice. Now listen, I've always been the older brother, but my brother has said it is very difficult to be the younger brother. I'm sure he's just whining. But it's very difficult because you've already done everything before and everything I do gets measured up against you. And I go, oh man, I'm sorry. I'm being serious about that. I go, that is rough. But then again, if you just do well, We sit there and we try to put Cain into the modern day. We go, hey, Cain's a modern day person. Cain's reacting to things in a very he's angry. His countenance has fallen. And to him, it's because of what? Because mommy and daddy messed up in the garden. Now I've got to be out here digging. And the best that I provide for God, he doesn't like. And does that not sound like everybody talking today? It's not my fault, it's my mom and dad. It's not my fault, it's because the things that I like, nobody else likes. Because the things I believe, nobody else believes. And oh, what mental damage you've caused upon me. We've stopped teaching young people somewhere along the way that the world isn't, you're not going to have global acceptance. That you're going to believe things just by the natural course of believing things that other people will not like. I mean, look at this world down to the sports teams. We get violent in these arenas if the teams don't win. If somebody dares sit in the wrong section when someone is drunk enough, there will be blood. And what must we do then about what must we view then about religion and philosophy and social norms? We've stopped teaching them that you're not going to be able to walk out and get wide acceptance, but now the world's sitting up, well, you've got to, or else you're just trying. What's that word? It's genocide to believe that we're not what we are. Again, I'll get you a dictionary and what the word genocide is. Look up the terms man and woman, too, while you're there. Buy yourself a dictionary now before those words change. Listen, we cannot walk through this world looking for acceptance and letting acceptance be our desire, at least not from this world. How we view ourselves. And so often that's what we do. Cain, he viewed himself not in an old-fashioned way, but in the very modern way we still have today. He viewed himself, I look like a fool in front of mom and dad. God didn't take my sacrifice. See, I look like a fool in front of them. And then this pipsqueak, he gets out there. Lord takes his sacrifice, doesn't take mine. And we see him becoming a very bitter, very angry. And all of a sudden that bitter and that anger becomes violence. That bitter and anger becomes violence. And we've seen people out there act that way. And sometimes maybe we have acted that way. Where there's a storm right here. For no other reason than the fact that we don't like what we look in, we don't like what we see in the mirror. We don't like what we see out there acting and doing stuff. And all of a sudden we become harsher and more mean to the people in our lives, more difficult to deal with. When the solution, so very simple, do right. Do right. Well, it's hard to do right. Yes, sometimes it can be. That's where practice comes in. Of course, it's not easy, at least not at first. But once things become a habit, once things get built back up, all of a sudden comes that acceptance, not from the world, oh no, never from the world, but from God, oh yes. From those that honor and love God, yes. A war inside comes when there is a war inside. When there is some failure that has brought us shame and disgrace. And other people might not be shaming you. And they may not be treating you with disrespect. Perhaps only you sit there shaming yourself, disrespecting yourself. Perhaps it is just you hanging on to the shame. Let me tell you something. If you've asked God to forgive you for something, that's over. And it needs to be over in every sense of the word. You don't do it no more. Now listen, if you say, hey Lord, please forgive me, and then you turn around and you do it again and you feel ashamed about that, that's yours. You own that. That belongs to you. Go back to the Lord, repent, really repent this time, let it go. Stop doing it. But man, I've known people that will sit there decades on. Lord delivered them from some sin, this or that. They only ever see themselves as the person that did this or that. That ain't who you are, that's what you did. Did you stop doing it? Yes. Well, that's a monument of mercy now, isn't it? That's a monument, a testament to God's grace. That ain't there no more. Instead of us looking at that going, oh, what must this say about me? Let me tell you what the Bible says about you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The righteousness of a man is no more than a filthy rag in God's eyes. You were already there. You're already there. That's why grace exists. That's why mercy is there. So if the Lord saved you and he delivered you from that, those memories are become points of grace. Lord, thank you for forgiving. Thank you for forgiving me of that. Thank you for delivering me from that. Lord, continue to deliver me from that. Continue to give me wisdom and grace and strength to say no to that. But instead, people put that on like it's some kind of character point, like it's a characteristic of themselves. Well, once upon a time, I did this. Why? God's forgiven you. Go out there. Live your life. Preach against that stuff. Stand firm against it. Right? We know how grace works. We know what it is. But to sit there and only live in shame and embarrassment, that's not why Jesus came to the cross. That's not why he died for you. So you could sit there for the rest of your life hating yourself. You love the Lord. You trust him for what he's done. Justified means justified. Again, I must warn that because the Lord has delivered you does not mean you can't go back. You must build the walls. You must know what you are and what tempts you and what would drag you back. You must know what you are, but don't let that become the way you see yourself. What happens to a person that lives there? I mentioned the descent there. There's an anxiety that comes about everything they do. If I do this, I'm going to mess it up. If I do this, it's not going to go well. If I do this, then people are going to see how bad I am at it. And that anxiousness becomes what? What does anxiousness do? Well, it saps your strength, takes away your mental sharpness, makes you worry about everything, whether you should or not, and it drains your patience. Now, a person with a lack of boldness and a lack of patience, they get all scribbled up inside. And that lack of patience with themselves become a lack of patience with everybody. Why? Because the cup's empty. The patience has run out. And it run out on themselves. So when somebody messes up an order at the restaurant, when somebody gets too close in front of them, all of a sudden there's no fuse on the bomb. What do we see taking place between Cain and Abel? They are talking in the field. What are they talking about? I don't know. But you know what I noticed? Abel didn't attack Cain. So is there any reason for Cain to physically attack Abel? No. He just did. Why? An unbelievably short fuse. Anybody who, for reasons of anger, attacks somebody physically lacks the proper length of fuse. We've been arguing for weeks. That fuse ain't long enough then. Oh, you don't understand. They said this about my mom. Yeah, fuse ain't long enough, man. There ain't enough patience or long suffering in you. You got to grow some of that fruit because you're missing it. Now, that's a very hard thing for me to say, but it is what it is. There was no reason for Cain to attack Abel outside of his own anger, his own selfishness, his own distaste for himself. And of course, when you talk to, if we were to bring Cain forward and talk to him, he would answer in the way many modern people with this problem would. The problem's not me, it's Abel. Out there running around, his sacrifice was accepted. Mom and dad are all happy and proud of him. I'm out here. I didn't get no respect. I grow in the field. I do the work over here. Nobody would have any fruit. Nobody would have any vegetables except for me. I take care of this stuff. That's me. And nobody... It's always about the other people. Why? Because we're so focused on the war we're having out there, we forget about the war that's going on the inside. That there is a disunity between us and God, that there is a disunity between us and grace. Why? Because we are still choosing sin. We are still choosing sin over what God says to do, and it's going to rattle you up inside. And it's going to cause some bad behavior. Now, when I say cause bad behavior, these hands belong to you. So if you do anything with these hands, who's responsible for them? You. This right here. This right here. The Bible says a lot about the tongue, don't it? It says that it's wicked. It says that it can do some terrible things, and it can. It really can. One of the softest parts of the body can do some of the most damage. Doesn't matter if you're all scribbled up inside from your sin, shame, regret, anxiety, whatever. What comes out of this is on you. One of the phrases I hate. I didn't mean to say that. How'd it happen? I mean, words are particular. I've got a little girl right now. We're trying to teach her words. And sometimes I think she's just being rebellious on stuff. But we're teaching her things. She'll say a word. We'll repeat it back to her properly. She'll say the word again. And we'll repeat it back to her properly. And sometimes I'll use the word twice. Yes, blue. Blue. Yes, blue. Just to teach her that. We take kids. Sometimes they can take a good amount of years. Some of them just, you know, Xander, I think he was talking before he was one. Ain't got him to stop since, but love you, buddy. I'm kidding. But no, kids learn. It takes time to teach them basic communication skills. So don't sit here and tell me that you, a full-fledged adult, accidentally vomited a sentence. If I'm putting in all this work to teach a little girl one or two words, don't tell me you sat down and a whole sentence popped out of you unawares. Doesn't make any sense. Now listen, if you say left when you meant right, that's a mistake. But if you're being vile and awful with your words, that's you. There was an illustration of a preacher. He got up and he was preaching, and there was this little old lady up in the front. And he was speaking, and everybody was really engaged. And she just kind of sat there and leaned back a little bit. And she goes, "That's Charles Spurgeon." And he got a little flustered, and he moved down a little bit and kind of changed up some of the ways he was saying stuff and moved down a little bit. And she leaned back again. She goes, "That's D.L. Moody." And he's starting to sweat now, and he's getting all frustrated, and he's getting all nervous. Goes over, "That's, and she named another preacher. And finally, he's getting real upset. Goes for a little bit longer. She does the same thing. Interrupts. "That's this preacher or some other." And he goes, "Lady, will you be quiet? That's you." As you. What comes out of you when you're shooken up, that's you. That's no mask on, no facade. That's you. That's what. Nothing can come out of you that's not already in you. So if you're saying words you don't mean just to cut, you meant to cut. If you're saying words that aren't true, you meant to deceive. You might not have meant those words, but you meant what those words did. I've seen two people get into an argument. They'll say some nasty stuff about each other. 2 minutes later, they're all better and they're all happy. And I go, "Well, wait a minute. What about all the cuts and the wounds? We're going to pretend those ain't there? We're going to pretend that didn't happen, like that was a perfectly normal thing for two people to do to each other?" It's not. Even if you're rattled inside from your shame and your anxiety and your sin, that doesn't excuse what comes out of you. Well, you have to understand, I came from a very narcissistic household. Well, you have to understand, I came from a very abusive household. You have to understand. No, I do not. Listen, it doesn't matter my background. I control this. Yeah? It doesn't matter where I came from. I control this. I control all of this. And for as long as I control all of this, I'm responsible for what it does. The moment, and I tell this to young people, the moment you realize that behavior is wrong, you have a responsibility to never do it again. Well, my parents used to do this and I hated that. So I hate when I do it to my kids. And stop! Well, this used to happen and that used to happen, so now that's what... You don't have to! That's the easy thing to do. Do the hard thing. Do the difficult thing. Do the obedient to God thing instead. We don't get passes because of things that have happened to us in life. Now, believe me, we've all been through stuff. I'm not trying to discount things. But there comes a point when you've got to settle with what was done with you. There comes a point where you've got to decide that that may have happened to me, but I'm not going to allow it to change me and what I do. Well, why at one particular time I stood there and God didn't take my sacrifice? So provide a sacrifice that He will do. People, my teacher failed me one time, so I've had a hard time doing this or that ever since because they failed me. You know, you could practice, probably be all right. Probably get you a teacher to teach you the proper way to do it, you'll be all right. I'll have conversations with people go just like that. Well, I had a bad pastor. So you're going to give up on God because of what one man did? Well, he did this and he got up in my mom's face and screamed at her and now I don't go to church anymore. You gave up on God because of one hooligan. You know, there's other options than just walking away from God, right? Well, you don't understand. They did this and they did that over at the church and then they would look at me and they shamed them. You're going to give up on God for that? No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Well, church abuse is a real thing.
Sure. Giving up on God, though, ain't the proper response. Giving up to God. To me, that would be like, hey, something bad happened to me. So you know what? Instead of learning to heal and grow and change and fight back, I'm just going to let it take every inch of my life. Someone was mean to me when I was a kid. I got to give up the rest of my life because of that. Some horrible adult did something awful to me. So now... I'm just going to die spiritually for the rest of my life. No, I wouldn't give them the right. I wouldn't give them the privilege. There comes a moment where you got to look at your baggage and you got to square up with it and decide that I will not let this take me. I will not let this define me. God has written my definition. God defines me. There may have been some issues there, but God protected me through it. And now He's given me opportunity. And now He's given me strength. And I'm going to serve Him even harder now because of the things that have happened in the past. I'm going to make sure that stuff don't happen. I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen in my house. I'm going to make sure that don't happen at work. I'm going to make sure that that's not showing in my day-to-day life, in my personality. I'm going to make sure I honor God where in the past people haven't. I will honor Him for the rest of my life. Cain sat there and the rest of his life was dictated by the decision he made in that field. He could have made a better decision. Where so many people today say, well, what else could I have done? Don't you understand what's happened to me? There ain't nothing God has told you to do that you can't do, despite anything that's happened in your past. When we lack patience and anger comes, then cruelty comes next. And that's what we see out of Cain. Cruelty. When the preachers throughout the New Testament, the book of Acts, when they would preach the truth, I think of Stephen a lot. Stephen was given an opportunity to say something for himself. And he preached the gospel, but he didn't preach it in a polite, nice, loving way. He says, you killed Christ. And many people say, well, that's not very... That's not very political. No. Ain't going to make no friends preaching it that way. But you know what it was? The truth. The truth. And sometimes the truth ain't nice. You killed him. Many other disciples did the same. That same Jesus Christ that you killed. They referenced it. And what did those people do? They gnashed their teeth at him. They beat him. They threw him in prisons. They stoned him. They got angry. Why? Why the anger? Because there was shame. Because there was shame. We're coming up on the holidays. And there was... I got to get off Facebook, man. It was this lady. I pay attention to some of the local events on it. And there was this lady from one of the local schools. She got mad because a teacher was talking to 10 and 11-year-olds in her class about certain characters from Christmas and Easter and those that come and retrieve teeth, which, again, is just, if you really think about the tooth fairy, isn't that scary? What does she do with them? You know what I mean? Like, and we tell these stories to children, right? But anyway, can't believe that teacher talked of the reality of the situation in front of my 10-year-old. I still think that that's a... I'm just up in arms, almost willing to get the teacher fired for doing what? Telling the truth about a situation. Now, why do we get angry like that? Either we have really been wronged, or there's some kind of shame and embarrassment in there. Right? Now, here's the thing. If a teacher did that, I understand where a parent would say, hey, that's not cool. You shouldn't do that. I get the small amount of anger. You know what I don't get? I'm going to go to Facebook. I have a cousin like that. Literally called me one time. Can you speak to my mom? She won't let me borrow the van. And if she doesn't let me borrow the van, I'm going to have to go and call her a bad mom on whatever social media thing she said. That's weird, isn't it? That's weird. And don't worry about her ever hearing this. I told her it was weird. It's weird. Why would you do that? I have to hurt other people. Well, why would you want to hurt other people? Because they said something about holiday characters? You want to hurt them over that? You want to potentially cause them to lose their job? Their livelihood, their ability to feed themselves because of that? You want to stir up some ugliness among your friends and family because of something so small? You know what I think when I see that? There's something Cain about their hearts. There is something messed up. There's some shame. There's some hurt. There's something that they gotta get right within themselves if they're willing to go to blows over small little things. Now listen, you come into my house, you hurt my kids, you do something, there are particular things that you could do to me, I'm not going to be nice about. And you wouldn't be nice about it either. But when we're doing it over everything, I'll joke about things. You got people stopping in front of me. Doesn't that drive you nuts? Now, I'm not talking in a vehicle. I'm just talking about you're going. Now me, I'm like this. When I'm out doing stuff, my goal is to get it done and get home. I don't want to play around. So when people are sitting there in the middle of an aisle with their cart turned sideways, I'm sitting there trying to beat up my inner cane. Go, no, no, come on, come on, relax, stop it. They're sitting there having a nice conversation with somebody that they probably talk to all the time. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there trying to mortify the flesh, crucify the flesh, while I need to get over to where the coffee is. Right? We need to recognize that a lot of times that fallen countenance, that anger, comes from shame, comes from sin within us that needs to be dispatched. The inside must be dealt with. Now listen. Cain, if we're sitting there, we're looking at Cain, what advice would we give Cain? Now, Cain, next time, bring some meat. Here's what you do, Cain. You bring the best. That sacrifice you would have brought to God in vegetables and fruit, you give that to Abel, trade him for a goodly lamb, and you bring that, because that's what God accepts. And Abel and Cain would have sat there and says, yeah, that's a wash, man. That's pretty good. I'll trade him this for that. We'll both bring a good sacrifice before the Lord. And the best of what I have is still being used. And I want to give the best that I have to get this lamb, because that ought to cost me when I'm sacrificing to the Lord. And bada bing, bada boom, now we're both friends and everything's good. Now, I can sit there and as I see Abel walking up, now Abel, make sure you get me a good one, because I've got some good stuff over here. Now, come over here. Come over here, Abel. Look, I got all this set aside. This is what's going to you for the sacrifice. I want a lamb that looks just as good as these tomatoes. Right? That's what they should have done. That would have been the reasonable thing to do. How many of us look back on stuff we did and go, there was no reason in that whatsoever? The solution is so simple. But what did Cain do instead? He got angry. He got so angry and wroth that God picked up on it, had to call him out in particular. Now listen, I'm sure that Cain had gotten wroth before. I'm sure that Adam and Eve had gotten wroth before. They'll prick their finger on one of these brand new thorns that just cropped up after the fall and, ah! Sure, he did it so long God called him out on it. There's something wrong here, man. I don't know how long that was, or because of how big it was, or because God saw the problem. I don't know what made God bring it out. There's a bunch of reasons I can think of. But he held on to it. And he did the unreasonable thing. Instead of, okay, Lord, what would you have me do? And changing what he was doing, what did he do? He killed his brother. That's the most unreasonable thing I could imagine. God didn't like my vegetables, so I killed my brother. When you boil down most of the insane things that are going on there, most of the time it comes up to something completely unreasonable. Well, why was... You're in front of the judge because you did a drive-by shooting. Why did you do a drive-by shooting on that house? Oh, because I'm part of a gang and they said, go shoot this house. Now, how many of you who have ever said, if your friends jumped off of a bridge, you'd go too? It's kind of the extreme version of it, isn't it? We need to repent of the silliness. We need to repent of the foolishness. We need to repent of the anger. And once we repent, we got to let the shame go with it. We got to let this broken view of ourselves and our upsetness at the broken view of ourselves. Listen, of course you're broken. You're a sinner. God deals exclusively with sinners. That's what grace is for. You were always broken. But God, by His grace and through obedience to His word, can make you better. Can make you more reliable. Can give you the strength to obey and do great things. You just got to get over this self-worship. A lot of people think, well, I've got a low self-esteem, so you really can't say it's self-worship. If you're paying attention to your internal value, it's what it is. How high am I sitting on the throne of myself that I've put on my... And some people, that's how they feel so important. Man, if everybody just knew how humble I was inside, they would know how good of a person I am. That's what it is. Right? We must instead, hey Lord, protect me from temptation. Give me strength to walk away. Lord, show me what's right and wrong. Keep me on the right path. These are all proper responses. All things you should be doing. What shouldn't you be doing? Oh man, I'm so bad, I'm so awful, I'm so this, I'm so that, and I can't believe I this, and I can't believe I that. That's not an appropriate response. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when you notice your weakness, you go to Him for what? Strength. Don't fumble over the weakness. God didn't. He knows exactly what you need. Go to Him. You know, we got some colds and flus going around in my house. I know it's popped around to several others. What do you do when you get sick? Who do you go to? The doctor. Why? Give you some medicine. Right? Now, how many of you sit there and go, well, I don't want to go to the doctor. He might find out I'm sick. I don't want to have the cleaning lady come over before I clean. Now, I don't know anybody here who has a cleaning lady, right? I can't have the cleaner come over until I clean up a little bit. They might find out my house is dirty. I can't go to the Lord for help over my sin because I'm embarrassed I'm a sinner. That's how ridiculous it sounds. But I'll guarantee each and every last one of us in this room has been there. We all know what that's like. To sit there in sin for too long that we don't like ourselves because it's there. And we don't go to God for strength to get rid of it. Partially because we still like the sin. Probably a huge part. And the other part because, well, what will he do? Oh, the shame of it. The disgrace. The scandal. No, let's go to the Lord. Let us repent before it gets too far. Before it goes too far and takes too much from us and hurts us too poorly or hurts us too much. And then we're out there hurting others because we're hurting inside. Let us repent of the whole thing. What does the Lord say to do? Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Listen, why are you so banged up inside? Why are you so hurt? Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Well, I feel really bad because I fail in these areas. Hey, if you go to the Lord and admit your failure and apologize for your failure and turn to the Word of God and turn to the strength of God and turn to the help of God and get that out of your life, wouldn't you be well? Wouldn't you feel well? Wouldn't things go better? God makes it sound so simple, don't he? In the way that only God can. If you do well, wouldn't you be well? Wouldn't it go well? Look at what else he says. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shalt be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, when we look at that, your desire will be sin. Why do we hang on to our sin? Because we want it. And then what do we rule over? What do we start doing? What do we start committing in our lives? What do we start bringing into the situation? More sin. That's what we're doing. It says that we rule over sin. It's not that we get to tell sin where to go and what to do. We start commanding it. We start doing it. That disquiet inside of you becomes disquiet coming out of you. That sin that you've buried in your heart becomes the things that you joke about, whisper about, deal in private. And the shame and the regret, it roils up, boils up inside of us. Making us comfortable, spewing it out unto others. But if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If there is no sin, there's no anger, there's no shame, there's no bitterness. And if there is none of those things, well then there's plenty of patience and long-suffering. Why? Because instead of all these nasty fruits that we are growing in our hearts, we're growing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering. All the things that we need to be patient and calm with the world around us. All the things that we need that peace that we need to have in order to have that peace that passeth all understanding. We'd have it. We'd have it. We'd have closeness with the Lord. We would have communion with Him. We would enjoy our Bible reading, our Bible studying. We would want to pray. We would have a calmness within us. If only we did well. Only then, only once we have solved the war, the struggle, and the anger inside, and dealt with the sin inside, can we begin to have any effect on what's going on outside. If you're here and you're a lot like me, and you go, why is my temper so short? Why is my fuse so short? Why is it that I want to avoid this level of irritation? Why is it that while I'm trying to avoid it, it comes so quickly sometimes? You must deal with what is going on inside. There is a lack of closeness between you and the Lord. There is sin separating you from Him. There are things that must be cleaned up inside. Because that's where the problem is. Modern day philosophy would say, well, we just got to discuss these problems until you feel good about them. That don't work. That's why people stay in therapy for years upon years. That's why they couple therapy with medications to go for years and years and years and years and years. Why? Because you can band-aid it. You can feel better about it. But until it is out of you, it's still going to be there. It's still going to be doing what it does. We must repent wholeheartedly of our sin. Well, you know, we're having issues with this, issues with that. Let's get to the Bible. Most issues in finances, marriages, personality traits, work habits, most problems that people have in life will be settled with the Bible. Now, there's going to be some things that happen to your body that require medication, right? But I guarantee you this, most of the things that society is facing today is because we are not honoring God with what we're supposed to be doing, and it is causing some messed up stuff inside of us, right? We'll bring it down to war between marriages. I mean, we have wars in all different sorts of areas, but let's talk about marriage. Well, they say this, and they said that, and blah, 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 blah. And then you go over to the husband. Now, what do you say? Well, she does this, and she does blah, 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 blah. Now, let's look at the Bible, and let's pare some of this stuff down. Let's put this together, Now, listen, you did this, and you shouldn't have done that. According to Scripture, this is how you should have responded. And, hey, now listen, you, that absolutely, he apologized. Now, you did this, and blah, 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 and this is what you ought to do, and we'll pare that down. According to Scripture, this is how you ought to do it. Okay, now, everybody calm. Yes, we feel calm. Good. Now, going forward, biblically, this is what it says you ought to do when you don't feel calm anymore. And guaranteed, if you can abide by these things, you'll be able to get to a spot where y'all can disagree and not throw clocks at each other. Right? The Bible teaches us things. When we disobey them, we have to solve bigger problems because we didn't obey them. And we have God on top of it, who we answer to. You cannot fix the storm coming out of you until you fix the storm inside of you. And you can't fix the storm inside of you till you repent of the sin causing the storm. Only then will you have calm. Only then will your mind be able to relax. It is in our nature as new creatures to get upset and to view ourselves through our sin. It's part of it. But it's not there to make you agitated. It's not there to make you grumpy. It's there so that you could repent. The stirring of the Holy Spirit is not there to make you miserable. It is there to cause you to repent so you can be glad. And if any one of us wants to get there, it must follow that behavior of repentance and doing well. Then comes the peace. Then comes the control over oneself, right? We must get rid of the sin. We must decide that whatever the Lord says to do, that's what I'm going to do. What He says not to do, I'm not going to do that. And only once we're there can we step forward with a right mind. You can't do it on your own strength. You can't do it the way you want to do it. What does the Lord say to do? That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to repent of all the nonsense I put on top of it. And I'm going to move forward honoring God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so sorry for our lack of patience. Lord, when we consider you, we can only be grateful for the long suffering and patience you've shown to us. Lord, you show more patience to us than we do to the fast food worker. You show more patience to us than we do with the politician or the driver next to us on the road. Father, I cannot imagine the love that you have for us seeing these things. But Lord, help us be in that same spot where we are patient and caring and kind and loving. That Lord, we would come to you immediately with our sin And that, Lord, we would give those things to you and not stress and have anxiety, but, Lord, do the thing that you told us to do. Number one, not sin. And number two, repent of it when it does happen. Help us, Father, to be right in your eyes. Help us, Father, to be accepted by you above all else. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.